Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know if I should just start weeping.
I mean, okay, I think we should leave this. I think this is how the show opens.
I think that was the intro of the show. Yeah. I don't know if I should cry or celebrate, but y'all, we do know that the season is in full swing. At least the number one pick, Paolo Banchero, made a statement in his debut. Mm. He looks solid. The Pelicans have already taken flight, as it were, and Dame time is back. And we're joined by none other because it be me, and Timothy Bella on today's episode. I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this is Miles and Jack got mad boosties.
I wonder that if was seamless. Basketball fans are appreciating my 60 minutes impression, because I do feel like I'm nailing my Leslie Stahl.
And I think I was nailing my Missy Elliott. Mm-hmm. It be me, and Timothy.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Reference to Timbaland. But anyway, the real Timothy that we are with is the wonderful reporter, editor, and author, Timothy Bella. Or Tim, can we call you Tim? Timothy?
Of course. Tim's great, guys. And I have to say, that is the best intro I've ever gotten. So
I sincerely
appreciate that. No BS here.
Yeah, no.
We're a lot of these by now.
We're the best at this. I don't know if did they not tell you that ahead of joining? We're the best podcast in the basketball space. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Jabari.
Everybody.
I think he likes the effect produced when people just find out as they're recording the podcast that we're the best at this. But So it's great to have you. You got a new book, which is exciting.
Barkley, a biography.
That's what it's called. Yeah.
We will.
Yeah, it wasn't a description. That's the actual title.
But we're going to dig into that in the second of three quarters that we do on this show. Right?
I guess we call them periods if we're doing three of them, like hockey
style.
All right, whatever it is.
It's an NBA show, and we do three periods. But we got to get into, I am both crying from, you know, disappointment that my Sixers got off to a rocky start, and joy. And I don't know which is which. At sometimes it's just swinging back and forth, but it's so good to have basketball back. And
yeah,
there are those players, the returning players that we were excited about who have looked amazing. Zion's, Williamson. And then there's ones I forgot about, man. I forgot about Dame. You know?
Oh, I thought you meant like, I forgot about Ja.
And we're going to talk about Ja, because I mean, that's never too far from our mind, Timothy, for it to fill you in. We did do our entire first episode just about Ja Morant, because we were
excited. He's worth it.
Yeah,
he's worth it. He killed my high Rockets draft, like 48 on him. I'm like, of course he did.
Yeah, 49. So.
Yeah, 49.
All right, Jack, way to go. 1949.
Sorry, you're a short one. He's also shooting 60% from the three this season, which,
come on,
like, if he's already unstoppable in terms of like getting by you, getting where he wants, and just like burying a shot or a image defining dunk over your head. But now if he's, I don't look, I'm not a analytics guy. I'm going to say though, I don't expect him to stay shooting 60% from three for the rest of the season. But man, he looks good. So of course we will just do our requisite ode to Ja Morant. But
I mean, we're doing it right now.
Yeah. I mean, Timothy, what's getting you excited so far?
Yeah. Honestly, guys, like I mentioned, I'm a Rockets fan, so I mean, there's some exciting things, but still, and they won last night. So I was like, "Damn it, stop winning!"
So you're getting excited about Wembanyama?
Oh, big tanky.
Yeah, and health.
You're rocking your tankini.
Had to do it. besides that, though, I'm still, even though he left, I'm still a very big James Harden fan. And honestly, I just love seeing him just come back to the level that he was in Houston. Even if it's only for a few games, who knows if it's actually going to last. But for me, I've always been a Harden backer, even in his darkest days. So it's cool seeing him just kind of go off. And it just be the Jimmy Jam to I remember in Houston, like, oh boy.
Yeah.
He's dropping dudes, like he's doing everything. Yeah.
Yeah, it does feel like there's some ingredients there for the Sixers that they just need to like kind of make work together. And I truly believe that they will get back to the second round of the playoffs and get unceremoniously benched.
Their rightful place in the second round.
They have a gravitational
banner.
Yeah. The second round.
Yeah. Banner.
You know, everybody talks about LeBron getting to the finals all those years in a row. I think by the end of this run, people are going to be like, the Sixers, man. What a run they had of second round exits.
Consistent, if anything, 100%.
It's like the saddest version of Tina Turner, simply the best, just playing the whole
right.
Top eight. Dun, 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 dun. You're really definitely top eight.
Woo!
Yeah. Let's talk Paolo, though. I mean, we saw flashes of it in the summer league. I think everybody likes to throw cold water anytime I get too excited about the summer league. As I want to do, but it was good to see it in live NBA action, putting up in his debut game, first game in the NBA. I feel like if I was starting to play in the NBA, my first game would be more of a, you know, feeling it out situation.
first day of college.
Yeah, first day of college. You don't want to go too hard. You don't want to show them all your cards. And
not going to raise your hand to answer every question.
Yeah, maybe this is a critique, Paolo. Maybe don't put it all out there right away. But this man put up 27, 9 boards, 5 assists, 2 blocks. First rookie to go 25-5-5 in a debut since LeBron joined 3 other players to ever do 25-9 in their debut, along with Grant Hill, Willie Anderson, and Ron Harper. So I don't know. This is going to be exciting. The Orlando's, I think they started 0-3, but they're just a lot of fun to watch, and he's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
He makes me sad every time I see him, because for starting in March up until the NBA draft, I was convinced he was going to be a Rocket. That was the guy I wanted. That's it. I don't care about the others. And I was shocked that he was projected third. And then Woj killed me about an hour before the draft. My heart shattered. And it's been a great year for me. Don't get me wrong, but that was definitely not my best moment.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, he's leaving.
Yeah, it's tough because it was one of those things where you're like, wait, everybody else is wrong and I'm right? And then you find out, oh, they were just lying to me. They're not wrong. They knew he was the best player. Yeah.
I was very lied to the whole time. I know.
Super producer Jabari pointed out that this dunk that is kind of the highlight, the de facto highlight that I think people have seen from Paolo's first game, is reminds me of Tom Chambers, which is for the old heads who and not like the old head NBA tape fans, the old head video game players. If you remember the game Bulls versus Lakers,
right,
where each player had like a move that they could do, and right. like Magic, if you got Magic going down the lane, he would go behind his back and do like a little behind the back scoop shot that was basically unstoppable. Once you got it going, it was like a fatality in Mortal Kombat. This dude completely reenacted the Tom Chambers, and I think it's one of Tom Chambers' most famous dunks also, but it is like kind of a one-handed, like he cocks it and puts it down and then dunks over somebody in a somewhat embarrassing fashion.
Vampiro gonna take it, fly over the top of Joseph and draw the foul.
Young
put
man.
That on your highlight reel, wow, young fella.
Oh, young fella. Woo! If you didn't see it, you're gonna see a lot of this play.
It does seem like I'm just gonna overcome this minor obstacle in my way, yes, kind of energy where, look, I get it. It's you're just skying over people. But I it is really nice to see like the continuity from getting excited from his college performances, preseason, and now, and just playing so, man, just so, like, he's, you can tell he's having fun, and he's just aggressive. I just love to see him just dunking it nonstop, because, you know, right now I'm definitely shifting gears into more neutral territory to appreciate all the basketball bounty that is in front of me, and not get involved into the tribalism of just, you know, supporting
fandom.
My one team.
Fandom is so toxic. Beneath us now, Miles. As
absolutely
leading podcasters, you know, we've had a lot of guests on, Tim, who have been like, you know, I remember the days when I was a fan. Now I'm like too much in it, too close to the game. That like I've had the fandom drilled out of me, and now I'm just like a Socrates of basketball, just standing back and like just seeing the Matrix go by. And the Sixers, the way the Sixers started the season, and I'm not going to speak for anybody else who might co-host this podcast with me, but looking at that outlook and being like, I think I'm gonna
they got something going there.
Yeah.
They got something going
I'm
there.
No longer a fan of any particular team.
Yeah.
One quick question. Do you think Paolo could have pulled off that dunk in Tom Chambers' shorts, though? Because the shorts were very different back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's a great question. Jordan Poole was my great hope for somebody who was going to, because I remember like when he was in college, he was wearing the Stockton like 1980s basketball shorts in college. And then he succumbed to the pressure. I don't know if that's how we put the tense that one, but he
succumbed it.
Now, it's out, I mean, there it's, now.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it is now, baby. Shakespeare of basketball podcasting. But you know, now he has the tights underneath, and it's just, it's not as strong a statement when he goes out there in the short shorts, but it's there. Somebody could come into the league rocking the shortest of shorts. And you know what? This is, Super Producer Jabari is asking, is this our dumb recommendation of the week?
Yes.
Tim, we are in an official partnership with the NBA, so they do have to listen to this. So this is where we seed them with incredibly stupid ideas.
With that said, in fashion, we're already embracing the short shorts again. You know what I mean? Like for swim trunks and things like that. And I feel like, why not just come out and show off your quads?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Show
you're
off out there,
you're a professional athlete. Let the mesmerize the people with those thighs.
Yeah, yeah. Like I saw Jalen Green last season. He was rocking on short shorts.
Yeah,
like, all right, cool.
All right. Jalen Green back. Might be our, and just slowly each game, just keep taking them up a little bit. Just the seat, just get higher and higher until people are like, wait a second.
They're like, hold on, those dudes wearing volleyball cutoffs. Like, what are they doing?
Who do you think is actually keeping track of this?
Yeah.
There's got to be someone who's keeping track of like who wears very short shorts in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, but somebody
our
needs
new segment,
to take
who's wearing short shorts in the league this week.
So this isn't necessarily a pitch for the NBA, although Adam Silver can, you know, when he's kicking it with Jalen Green, he could just be like, "Hey, I heard a wild idea. And actually, you know what, Commissioner Silver? You can take it as your own. You could say, yes. I had a wild idea the other day. I steal ideas from other podcasts all the time. So just
for
all
my
yours.
Podcast.
Yeah. Another thing. So I'd put Palo in the category of like things we were appropriately excited about, right? Like we were pumped
absolutely.
About Palo. Pelicans. I think we were appropriately excited about.
Although it is tough to, I know, like as we're recording, having Zion and Ingram out, because you're like, oh, that's the thing. We're just like healthy, please.
But man, when they had everybody going, Willie Green was stirring the soup, making all the flavors work together. The play that got me most excited was actually the Herb Jones closeout block.
Yeah.
On Kevin Durant, like a 7-footer who has one of the highest releases in the league. And he just came from the paint and blocked it.
It was pretty, where did he take? I guess he's just that long, huh? Like, it's not like he was really necessarily covering a horizontal distance, but just him closing out and getting vertical.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe like that it was blocked until I was like, oh, wait, that was so short.
Kevin Durant doesn't usually miss by
not like
15
that.
Feet. Yeah.
It'll be Durant blocked away by Herb.
Boy, that'll go viral. You know how hard that is to do? You know how hard it is to block Kevin Durant's jump shot?
I just loved how he didn't stop the entire cut. He just went and he was in full control and just didn't care that, you know, one of the dozen best players in the game's history just put up a shot in the corner. He's like, nah, man, right. I got this.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the other thing that made it kind of hard to catch at first, because he wasn't like, oh my God, what did I just do? Like, just but puts his head into his hands and starts weeping like I would have.
He goes to the ref. He's like, can you stop the game? Can I get the ball? Can I get the ball real quick? Can I take that? Can we get a new ball? I want to take that home.
I would have appreciated that though. KD had a good block later in the game, blocked Brandon Ingram at the rim, which KD, sneaky good shot blocker, has been in the past.
That was one of those like Looney Tunes blocks where Ingram goes up two-handed, is like, and I'm dunking. And then when his hand's touching the rim, it's like, no, I'm sorry, Kevin
Durant is holding the ball now.
Rejected that, sir. I'm sorry, but good luck to you.
But Zion looked good when he was in there.
Yeah.
And hopefully he's able to, you know, bounce back from the contusion. But all right, should we take a break and then get to the things we were probably underrating?
Yes, I think we should.
All right, let's do that. We'll be right back.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and we were underrating Ja Morant, even though we devoted a whole episode to him last season. It seems like it would be hard for us to underrate Ja Morant.
No, not at this point.
I'll say I was right about the Celtics. I thought everybody was underrating how good the Celtics were going to look coming out of the gate, that Jason Tatum was going to be a legit MVP candidate. And so I feel good about that. But Ja, you know, with everybody, like, there was a lot of Sixers take. The Sixers might be the best team in the East. Like, there's just all these, like, fun takes, you know, people, what's going to happen with the Lakers? Who's going to, the Grizzlies? Well, they'll probably be about the same as last year, so we can just move on. And Ja Morant was just in the dark, getting stronger.
who would have known? Who could have known?
Yeah. I mean, there was another block. It wasn't as good as the one where he just, like, flew up and defied the laws of physics and caught that layup in the
Plenty of
games
left, Jack. Plenty of games left.
But it was so, he got up so high. Should we play that clip?
Please do.
Yeah. It sounds like wrestling.
I love
coming the other way,
and then comes the other way and
throws an alley-oop.
I mean,
I gotta say, I was saying this before, especially watching that Nets game. It's like Spider-Man is playing on the court.
Yeah, it is. It is like watching. That is what he most evokes. That's a great.
He evokes Spider-Man. Yes, because in a way, they're mortal beings moving at their normal pace, and he just has, like, this extra step, this little bit of bounce to everything that, and that, like, audacity too, or jawdacity as we've trademarked it. Mm-hmm. Just taking certain shots, going up for boards. You're like, bro, how tall are you, sir? Oh, you know what? I forgot. You're Spider-Man. So Peter Jarker, keep doing your thing.
And when he blocks a shot, it's the jawdacity of nope.
Thank you.
There we go. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I couldn't stand the Memphis Grizzlies for a long, long time. I just thought they were just flat out boring. And then here comes Spider-Man in here. And I'm like, oh, damn. It's appointment.
Yeah.
Point viewing now. Just every night with him. It's unreal. It's just a shot in the arm. It's that entire city and franchise right there.
And he did drop 49 and 31 minutes on your team. So I guess we got to ask you, how'd it feel? What it look like from your vantage point?
I was at a friend's wedding, so I was kind of drunk. So I was like, five.
Right.
That's good. Another.
There you go. Perspective. Yeah.
I'm like, all right, that's probably going to happen at least another 15 times to the Rockets this season. So if that happens once with Ja, a couple times with Ja, I'm not going to be shocked anymore.
Absolutely. And the stroke looks smooth. The jump, like, he had a shot. I think the Nets had pulled within six with a minute left in the fourth, and he had the ball at the top of the key. And it wasn't like when he was, like, hitting threes last season where they were giving it to him because they just didn't want him to, like, blow by them, get in the lane. Like, there's anything you can do about that. But they were guarding him, and he was dribbling and, like, pulled up off the dribble and hit, like, a deep three. Like, that was, you know, just ice cold. And
it was, like, for fun.
Yeah. It just looked smooth. Like, this is supposed to be happening.
Right.
You always let him take that shot, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not this season, apparently. Yeah, it's like, it's like, damn.
And then, adding that to his game, now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And KD, who, as we talked about on this show last year, Kevin Durant, he has a really good eye for young players. He was on a podcast years ago when Ja was still in college. And they were like, who do you see out there? Like, what do you think of Zion? What do you think of? And he was like, there's this guy from Murray State, Ja Morant. It was before he like kind of exploded onto the scene in the NCAA tournament. He was like, keep an eye out for Ja Morant. And he was right. And he recently said ahead of their game, he's the most marketable guy in our league, the face of our league going forward. So many kids are inspired by what he does that is coming from the other, like one of the other faces of the league. So that's pretty cool. And then, so one that I think I felt like I totally missed on in the sense of just like things that I was excited about going into the season. Damian Lillard, Dame time has returned. this also reminded me, because I always use the example of Clay as like the most kind of locked in and uncanny, like locked in shooting performance you've ever seen, when like the ball, you know, they're just throwing it up and the ball's going in like before the ball even leaves their hand. But I think Dame has like the most times where I've just seen him do that, where it's literally like Dame time and the game is over and there's nothing you can do to stop what is happening to you. And he's locked in this season. He looks awesome. He looks so fast. His explosiveness is there. He's shooting threes at his, you know, he had an off shooting year last year, and you know, he's just back and looks amazing and is like getting to the line at a record rate and just like doing all the things you would want. And the Portland Trailblazers are the only team in the West with a 4-0 record, which is pretty wild and not what a lot of people had coming into the season.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the Blazers were looking good, you know, like
Anthony Simons.
Yeah. And Jeremy Grant too. I was just like, oh, you know, I watched that game, the Lakers against them. I was like, oh yeah, no, a lot of people are doing pretty well right now. but yeah, Damian Lillard, I'm always just like, sir, why are you so loyal?
Yeah,
please.
Please.
Either
of you gotten the chance to see his pregame shooting routine or anything? Because I know that everyone talks about Steph and it's incredible, but if you ever get the chance, just watch Dame's pregame routine. He just goes so hard. I feel like he shoots from every possible spot on a court. He gets into a real sweat ahead of time too. And I was just in awe when I saw him. It's amazing.
His step back is so mean. His step back is
violent.
It's so violent. So impossible to guard.
That was also hard, man. That was a moment too. I think we were watching that where like Russ took a shot on one end and then Dame comes down, just vicious step back for three. And you're like, golly, this guy.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
Yeah. Or beautiful, because I'm a neutral. So I said, I like that. I embrace that.
Yeah, but like Portland can just fill it up, just buckets on buckets on buckets real quick. I think losing when I checked their score yesterday and then, you know, checked it again and they were up 25, you know. So Simons is kind of the younger guy that you've been hearing for years now that like they won't trade this guy. So like they're not like pumping him up. They're just like, yeah, we don't even talk to us about Simons. And everyone was like, maybe that was a mistake. We don't know. He looked like decent at times last year. He looked really good at times last year, but he put up, I think, 22 of his 29 points in a 5.5 minute burst last night. And they're just, the Blazers are exciting. So shout out to Blazers fans. Shout out to Celtics fans. Also, they look just as good. They look like they didn't miss a beat.
Always like to see an Anfernee doing well in the league.
Yeah.
You know, that's... for us old folks.
Should we do our underrated performers of the week? A new
segment?
Yes,
we should.
Yeah.
Yes. Our new segment. Because sometimes you sleep on stuff and you miss things. Well, not now. Now we have to take the time to point out some fantastic underrated performers of the week in our new segment. And got to highlight some of the best performances that definitely flew under the radar.
This is just Jabari sees all. He's an all-seeing. Our producer, Jabari Davis, one of like an all-seeing basketball mind, and
yeah, he's like Sauron.
Yes, he's Sauron, very much, and like just same vibe,
just as evil, just as
similar
evil.
Yeah, vibe. Just as evil. But so these are some performances I personally had missed over the past week. Brooklyn's Nick Claxton put up a 19-11 and 4 blocks in his win over Toronto. While on the Toronto side, Precious Achiuwa had 10 points and. And this is where I am performatively taking off my glasses and putting them back on and rubbing my eyes. 22 rebounds off the bench.
22?
In a win over the Heat.
22.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Charlotte's Nick Richards put up a 20-11 and 2 blocks off the bench in a win over the Hawks. So, you know, all you daily fantasy players out there, it's good
to keep your eye out on that
one.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I think just as a team, got to mention the Jazz, because I was like, hey, let's check in with that project. And they're, what, 3-1 right now? And I was like, wait, y'all, I thought y'all were supposed to try not do so good. Mm. Well,
yeah, I wonder if any of the players are saying that as they're beating them. They're like, hey, man.
They're like, hey, Lori, man. Hey, chill.
Yo, what's happening?
You and Kelly are wilding right now. What happened? Yeah. Does Danny Ainge know about this?
You're in so much trouble. Oh. Lori, you were in so much trouble when
Danny
sees this.
You know Danny plays the long game. You know he plays the long. We've seen him do it.
Oh, man. All right. So we do want to get to your big news. The Barkley bio drops November 1, just a few days. How are you doing? Is this your like 300th interview in the last couple of days?
No, this is really my first day of just really going hard. And I mentioned this, but I've also got a 7-month-old son too. So I am doing these interviews. Also, I'm making sure he stays alive too. So like it can be a challenging day to day, but
right.
It's going great so far though.
Good. So I don't know, like what are the story? Because this is a legendary dude, right? Like how do you approach a biography? What are the stories that you came away with where you were like, wow, like I did not know. Like there's one with a musician that I'm told is very popular named Madonna. I don't even
heard
like
of
that.
Her, yes.
That feels like if you had like a celebrity fridge magnets, you just Charles Barkley and Madonna.
Madonna, Godzilla, and breakdancing.
Yeah. What happened between Charles Barkley and Madonna?
So it was one of those situations when Charles had separated from his longtime wife, Mo. And it also had come at the point in time where Charles was at the peak of his powers. This was the 93 season, his first in Phoenix, his MVP season, and they are in the middle of this playoff run that eventually ended in the NBA Finals. Well, right around the time playoffs start up, Madonna is spotted attending one of Charles's games in LA with Arsenio Hall and Rosie O'Donnell. It's just to paint the picture here.
Okay, so it's 93.
It's pure 90s.
Big 93 energy.
All the way.
We're like three of the most 90s people out there. We should do this, right? Let's just like kick it at a Lakers game, right? That's great.
I'm thinking like, are Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell kicking it? Because like they just did a league of their own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think they were friends before A League of Their Own. I know that like that friendship was out there.
Yes. Ah, okay. Okay. Yes. Okay.
They even had this magazine back and forth that they did in which Rosie O'Donnell asked Madonna at one point, if you had a choice between this guy, and Charles Barkley, who would you marry? Who would you date? And she said without hesitation, Charles Barkley. And she said, maybe jokingly, that Charles Barkley is a god. So the affinities that she had for Chuck was very public at this point in time. And actually, it was so public that they were actually spotted out to dinner in Phoenix one night. I know this because I actually talked to the owner of the restaurant, who's like, yep, that's Madonna. And Charles actually introduced her as such. And they were also spotted out at a nightclub. And there were just a bunch of rumors that they were dating. And Chuck denied it every time. The timing of it is really interesting because she actually called him during the Western Conference Finals, right before Game 7 against Seattle. And that following day, Charles has perhaps the best game he ever has, 44 points, 24 boards, Game 7 win, off to the finals, and just like everyone the whole time is like, is he friends with her? Is he seeing her? Dave, they said no. It even got to a point where Charles said that his mother-in-law at the time had a heart attack, and he said it was because of the stress and these stories surrounding these allegations. So like it was a really heavy point in his life, his career, that we kind of forget about now. And can you imagine if something like that happened now, like in this age of social media and memes,
right,
and how that would just never go away?
Yeah.
Right.
It would be like, I'm trying to think, like, I guess LeBron, no, maybe not LeBron. Who's like a player of that magnitude? Maybe Durant. Who like, is there an artist like J-Lo? Is that who?
Jack, come on, get with the times, man. Not J-Lo. Think someone current.
I mean, Madonna wasn't like new on the scene in 1993, right? That's why I'm like trying to come up with like people who are iconic and established.
Adele, Beyonce, maybe. I don't know. Just like
imagine James Harden and Taylor Swift.
Right. Yeah.
Something like that. I can totally see that.
So yeah, they've forget about this. And then a year later, Madonna has her infamous interview on Letterman's show in which she drops the F-bomb like, 15, 17 times. And during the course of the interview, Letterman actually asked her about if she was friends with Charles Barkley. And she said that he was incapable of being friends with anyone, just extremely uncomfortable and wild. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So she just, even a year after that, the subject of Chuck just kept coming up.
Wow. You can't really even contain him. That's how I would have taken that if I was Charles Barkley. You can't really be friends. He can't be friends with anyone. Is like, I don't know. Like, first of all, wow, you still have feelings for me. Second of all, I like it.
That was at the time when she was secretly dating Tupac too, and that came out like years later.
Right.
So like, a lot happening in her life at that point in time. And mind you, I'm a big fan of her, so it's like, yeah, it's a lot.
I mean, great taste. So, and then inside the NBA, which is, I think, what a lot of the younger people kind of know him for, man, even still, like that 44-24 line is like crazy in a Game 7 is
game
wild.
Seven of the conference finals.
Yeah. Like the fact that isn't the thing that like everybody talks about and people are still like, well, he didn't win a title. It's like, he put up 44-24 in a Game 7 of the conference finals. The man could do things in the clutch. That's crazy. But so now, he's known for being just like one of the best TV personalities, maybe, I don't know, like in the game anywhere. So like, what's the backstory on how the inside the NBA came together?
Yeah, it was kind of this open secret that he was always going to go into broadcasting after he was done. It was just a matter of when. And he started hinting at his retirement from basketball starting in 94. And so if this went on, if this tease went on for like six seasons before he finally stepped away after 2000. So everyone thought and recognized that he would end up on NBC, which had the NBA rights at the time, which was the standard for NBA programming, right up until Turner started to actually get more of these games, and their head at the time wanted to make a run at Charles, even if it was unlikely. And they had this mutual friend who set up this dinner, which turned into this legendary hours-long dinner with, you know, with like food, cigars, everything. And when Charles got back, he pitifully could not sleep that night. He talked to his agent. He's like, I have to sleep on it. He didn't sleep. And then early that following morning, he told Dick Ebersol, his friend and the NBC sports giant, that he was going to Turner. And I think it surprised everyone. I know when I spoke with Kevin Harlan, he was like, the prospect of Charles coming here seems so distant and such a long shot that I didn't want to take it seriously. Then it happened, and he and others said that it just changed how everyone viewed Turner at that point in time. And from the moment he got there, he really did change things, and he really did open up things for how studio shows go. Some
right.
have tried, a lot have failed to replicate that. And he's opened up a ton of opportunities for thought people. Like when I spoke with Jalen Rose, he told me that he would not be on ESPN now if Chuck had not done that on Turner and shown people that this can be done at a high level. You can be funny. You can talk about things that are not just basketball, and it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that is truly, like, thank God things happen that way, because, like, it's easy to forget now, but, like, there was a huge difference between, like, what you could get away with on NBC versus what you could get away with on, like, a cable, like, not even, like, one of the top cable channels, but I guess it is one of the top cable channels, but there were so many,
man,
of them.
TNT had Nitro, man.
Right. So, like, the fact that he went to not one of the networks where he would have had to deal with, you know, a legacy and, you know, you just wouldn't have been, like, the networks is like Bob Costas and stuff. Like, they're not going to leave it baggy and just be like, let's just let Chuck be Chuck and, like, kind of invent, like, podcast vibes in the process. Because, like, that's really what is the closest thing that we had to podcast back then, which was just, like, them seeming like they were chilling, being honest about
relaxed
themselves,
environment,
being honest about, like, their shortcomings, being like, I don't know, I didn't really watch it that closely. Like, you know, like, it's a blast.
And you're not mad about that either, because you're more just in awe of, like, hearing this sort of these sincere interactions between these guys.
Yeah. I wonder if that was the magic, like, his instinct in that moment, or if it was just, like, that good of a meal that he was like, man, I'm going to eat well if I go to Turner. Let's
He's like,
this.
What did they tell you? He's like, I forget, man, but the potatoes that they had, I don't know what the dish is called, but they were creamy and mashy.
This all sounds so good. I got to make the reference to it. So, yeah, it's just.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's true, though, because in speaking with Bob Costas, Pat Riley, Dr. J, Hannah Storm, people who were at NBC at that point in time, they all said that if Chuck went there, he would not be the same guy. He was too straight-laced. He was too by the book.
Right.
And sometimes it was just very boring, too, for being honest. And honestly, the same could be said about TNT and Turner before Chuck, when it was just Ernie and Kenny. They were both very good, but it was not exciting. It was was good, but nowhere near if they are now, where, you know, this guy inducted into the Hall of Fame for that show, which is unheard of.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's off the strength of just your show being so good. Like, you know,
it's
what?
So good.
That's how much joy you've given us.
Super producer Anna Hosnier, she's one of the producers of our other show, The Daily Zeitgeist. I watched her become a fan of the NBA through just being a fan of Inside the NBA. Oh, she was just like, right. That show is so good that I am now watching games to know what they're talking about when they're talking about things.
It's a gateway show.
Yeah, it's a gateway show.
You know, because there is, I think, it's just that level of sincerity behind it. It's like, yeah, Charles Barkley trying to do a very polished version of what a on-air pundit is not as interesting as merely just letting people embrace who they are and just taking that, because that's the magic. Isn't even like, well, what's the secret? It's like, we just let people on as they are
cook.
And
work
with
that. I mean, he's just been cooking for so long. And thankfully, shortly after Shaq joined, he found himself to, because if people forget this kind of, but when Shaq first joined, he was trying to be ESPN Shaq instead of like himself. And
Shaq.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Instead of the guy who was in the Shaqspedition, you know, pulling up at pickup games in LA, just being a real regular guy. Angelinos remember that phase of Shaq.
Yeah. Just being Shaqtoberfest Shaq, you know? That's another Angelina local reference, but there's a
there's a
horror night now in Long Beach that is Shaq themed, and like Shaq shows up and DJs there. So Shaq is really a force of nature, but yeah, the fact that that show was able to make itself roomy enough to contain that force of nature, like a blimp hanger containing a containing clouds.
Yeah,
that was poetry. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with Rapid Fire.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
We're back.
And Miles, you know what time it is, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You do, right?
It's time. Yeah, it's like 4:20.
No, no, no. I mean, like,
damn, we missed it by 3 minutes. Oh, what?
This guy.
Got him. Yes, it's time for the rapid fire round of questions. Now, Timothy.
Fire round of questions. I don't know if you've always done that, but I like that being the name of it because it's very...
yeah, as if there's another round of questions that were less rapid. Look, don't pick apart just let me be Miles, okay? We just learned, let Chuck be Chuck, let Miles be Miles.
I'll be Bob Costas.
Timothy Bella, it is time for the rapid fire round of questioning. I changed it even that time. Now, this is the fastest segment in sports podcasting, nay, all of podcasting. We're going to ask you a question. You just respond with your first instinct answer. Do not extend your answer. Keep it quick and we will hold you accountable even if Jack or I continue to bloviate and extend.
Which
an
won't
answer,
happen
okay?
Because it's the fastest moment. It's the fastest.
Obviously, we know that, Jack. We know we
accountability, capital A, boys. Let's go.
Exactly. Thank you so much. And Jack, you already know, obviously, we know how important it is to keep this segment moving. Yes. Obviously, we're the
you
ones
know,
who conceived
I know.
The idea.
So let's do it.
So, of course, let's not dawdle any further. Wait, hold on. Let me get... Oh, man. All right. I thought my cup of noodles was done. Not yet. Okay. Here we go. Let's go. Start the clock. That's right. The rapid fire round of questions begins. Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Go.
All right. Timothy, what is the biggest surprise so far in the early going? Is it the Jazz coming out and, you know, winning games? Is it the Blazers going 4-0? Is it the Lakers? The Sixers? What? Where are you at? What surprised you the most?
I go Jazz, and every time I see Danny Ainge's face look stunned, I think... that kind of sums it up. So,
yeah,
right. Definitely the Jazz.
I'm feeling like true Major League vibes, like the movie right. Major League, like where they have they're all just like we're gonna win
the
despite the
thing.
Owner. Yeah,
right. Exactly. It's like yeah, these players got a lot of heart, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And then look what's happening. They're putting up big numbers. I'm sorry, we have to keep this going. Next question, Timothy, Indiana rookie. Benedict Mathurin joined Reggie Miller as the only two Pacers rookies to ever score 20 plus in consecutive games off the bench. Between Halliburton and Mathurin, has Indiana found the next Pacers stars? Or might this make them more likely to make a deal to clear even more space for them to shine? Similar predicament. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
And this is a Lakers fan leading question where they're like, should they just like
I
get rid of
that.
Everybody else in a fire sale?
Okay.
And, you know,
you're putting that complexion on there.
I'm just,
but low key, I am curious as a Laker fan though. Two, that just is a coincidence.
Yeah. They can deal everybody else to accept those two. I really do think they've got something cooking. In the case of Benedict Mathurin, he killed my TCU Frogs in March Madness last year. So I respectfully hate him, but he's fantastic. Though, so he's great.
Yeah.
But objectively, got to understand, okay, he's got some talent. Yeah. I get it.
He's good.
Yeah.
He's good. He was the other player in the summer league that everybody was like, watch out now. All right. This is news to me, but it says here that the Sixers and Lakers are both off to rough starts. Which team do you think is in more trouble and which team is more likely to make a move first?
It's gotta be LA on both of those. And honestly, yeah. I don't think it's close. I mean, at least with Philly, you've got Harden, who seems like he's bounced back. Embiid, who is my MVP pick for this season. You've got all the pieces there. Everything looks okay, even if it's a rough start to first in LA. Can you name anyone off their bench who isn't Austin Reeves right now? Because I'm having a really hard time with it. So I think they're just an absolute mess.
Yeah, it's a big moment. It's like an existential gut check, I think, right now. We're looking at what is the best way out. How did we get here? How do we prevent being back here for a very long time? But I'm just going to say, you know what? You got to start off rocky to end somewhat...
Rambo.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm worried.
No, that was coherent and seems like you're in a good place.
I am. I'm a big Grizzlies fan. You know what I mean? Like, shout out to my Lakers, though.
Yeah. As someone who experienced Russ for a whole season.
Oh, yeah. You did.
It's hard.
I don't even have anything to say. Just, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that conversation is rapidly shifting towards, like, is it, you know, what is going on with him? And is this more of a situation where it's like, they're like peep, I think needs the space to be able to come to like neutral. Like, I think the situation has become insurmountable for however he's used to doing things. And now I'm less like, man, this guy, like, get him out of here. I'm like, is this guy okay?
Yeah.
Is he okay? Yeah. Is he okay? Yeah. It's like, now I'm shifting
and
to that
I
thing, you know,
agree with Chuck said a week or two ago, how his joy has kind of been sucked out. Like you can see just in his eyes, there's not as much fire or life. Even with all of his flaws, he still had that energy to just love. And you just don't see it right now. Kind of sad.
Yeah. And you know what, Timothy, I love the empathy, but we have to keep this moving. You know what I mean? I'll let you go a little bit long there, but we have to keep the questions. So sorry about that. But
also, the second worst shooting three-point team in the league is at, I think, 29%, and the Lakers are currently at 21%. So just...
Hey, what about those defensive ratings, though?
The defensive ratings are off the charts. That's why I'm not, like, all out on this team. Just think I'm truly not. Their defense looks great. They just need to find some shooting. Which is easier said than done.
We're like a Disney films inciting incident away from figuring this out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like some zany things. Like this
Utah
team
gets out to a 10-0 start, and then Danny Ainge is like, fire sale. All right. One of our listeners, Adam Silver, A Silver in the Discord, mentioned relegation and teams taking the message. Is there any world where that actually takes place in the NBA?
No, I don't see it ever happening, to be honest. Would I be against it? No, I wouldn't be, because teams like my Rockets, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Detroit, Orlando have just been so bad for multiple stretches now. And I do think it would accelerate some of these rebuilds, hopefully. So I wouldn't be opposed to it. I just never see actually going through.
Yeah. It's just hard. I think just, again, we're not like other sports leagues, like where you can do that in, you know, potentially like minor league baseball or things where the infrastructure set up that immediately a team's like, well, I'm in this market and here's my venue to play, and boom, where now everything has to be like a huge arena. So that really limits those markets, unless you're doing like a hermit crab thing where like a relegated team is like, well, kick these guys out, because guess who's using the crypto.com arena now? Like
the Ignite team from the G League. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, it is interesting to see, like, obviously, because you want to try and figure out a way to not incentivize playing so cynically, especially when, you know, like a lot of people are, you know, fans and want to be like, hey, let's see where this goes. But I get that there's, you know, how do you alter that system already? It seems just overly complex. And I just don't think logistically or infrastructurally there's a way for that to happen. But hey, I'm down for hermit crab switching. Like if you're relegated, guess what? Come up off it. Some hermit new team is relegated. Now playing in the garden.
Or what if you decided who the next who got the number one pick in the next year with a mid-season tournament between like the bottom eight teams or something like that?
Oh,
something
where it's competitive. Right.
Like rather than
it's
the
like
lottery.
Now get it together.
Yeah.
I feel good about that. Yeah.
I think there is a way to do a gladiator fight. Anyway, moving on to the final question and most important question, Timothy Bella. Jack or Miles?
Jabari. No, I'm kidding.
That's an answer. That is an answer.
That was the answer last week both. Too.
I never pick between people, so I always pick who's not an option, just always. So
okay, sure. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Fantastic. I can see us all being friends.
I could too answer. Until like a minute ago. That's cool. I'm 0-13-2.
0-13-2.
Stop spamming the chat with Tim. You burned me. Oh man. Well, Timothy Bella, man, thank you so much for joining us on Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. Where can people find you, follow you, read your work, and all of that?
Yeah. So I am on leave at the Washington Post at the moment, but I'll be back there in 2 months on Twitter.
Okay.
At Tim Bella. Yeah. And Parkley is out November 1st. You can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any independent bookstore, anywhere. Just go and buy it. You will be supporting a 7-month-old baby too. So, yes.
There you go. There exactly. Do it for the kids, please.
Named Barkley, right? You said the baby's named Barkley?
His middle name, yes. First name, Charles. So, you know. Yes, just,
there you go.
Charles Barkley Bella.
That's dope.
Love that. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Mad Boosties. And shout out to this listener of the week at Paul Garaventa. Hey. Thank you for, you know, being like, hey, did you see this Wembanyama clip? You see this Wemby clip? We appreciate y'all. So, hey, follow us at Mad Boosties, BOOSTIES. And also, you know, hit us up. You got something you want us to see? A take that we should consider? We'd love to hear from you. So that's going to do it for this week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We did it.
Can't wait to see, man. Can't wait to check in on those records. You know, let's see where the standings are at, okay, in a week. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see if I'm still feeling...
If you're cynical. Still no longer a Lakers fan and just a basketball I've transcended. Thinker.
I'm going to turn into Mr. Burns when he was like glowing in that one episode.
More it's
like
basketball I figured philosopher.
Out. I'm enlightened now. I do not have a team, only the league. They're like, this dude has been contaminated by some kind of toxic substance. All right. Well, anyway, thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.